Welcome to Tilly's Trans Tuesdays. This week, we dive into a topic that's come up often before, but it's finally getting an episode of its own. It's something that can plague those of us who transition as adults all our lives. This is The Past Five, Recovering Trans Childhood. Hi, I'm Tilly Bridges, your host, and I'm joined by my writing partner, my best friend, my wife, our token cis representation, the sun my planet orbits around, Susan Bridges.
Hello!
Our returning guest is Liam Cobalis, a queer Filipino trans man that works as a localization producer and comic creator. With his background in traditional animation, he moved out to Los Angeles to tell trans, queer, and Asian American stories. When he's not working, he spends time with his loving partner and three cats. Welcome back, Liam.
Hi, Tilly. Hi, Susan. Thanks for having me back. Super excited.
Okay, so how did you get into making comics?
I definitely was an artistic kid growing up. I just would watch a lot of cartoons. And what I did is I would actually pause the TV and just kind of use that as a way to like redraw the frame.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and then I would kind of like sort of piece together like the scenes, kind of offhandedly doing like a storyboard or just like key frames of the scenes. And from there, I realized, oh, wait, animation is the same as comics, but one is just pages and the other is just moving. So
yeah.
I remember telling my mom, like, hey, mom, I want to be a cartoonist. My mom was like, oh, that's nice, but artists don't make money, so you should get a job that makes money. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was 12 when she told me that. So I was like, wow, I don't know what any of that means. So they actually pushed me into doing architecture because they were like, oh, this is drawing, but you get money. I was like, okay. From there, went to college for architecture, did an elective of animation because my mom was like, I know you're still thinking about it. Maybe take an elective, see if you like it. And it was just hook, line, sinker. I was like, nope, this is what I want to do. And I switched majors, completed two short film theses. And on the side, while I was doing that, I was doodling like some of the characters I was animating. And I was like, oh, would it be cool if there was like a graphic novel for these guys, or like a little comic series? And maybe one day I intend to like make a comic of them. But I have friends that are in like the indie comic scene in Chicago, which who gave me tips. And when I moved out here, I met Tara and you guys and sort of just dove further and further into the comic space. So it kind of ended up being like full circle of how I ended up into comics. It's just another way to just tell your stories. And I think it's just fun to kind of make these characters and just have like a physical thing to kind of flip through and be like, wow, I did this, you know?
Yeah. I wish I could draw. It's something I've always wanted to do, but I'm not very good at it. But, you know, I took a couple of architecture classes in high school because I thought maybe this is the kind of drawing I can do because, you know, you're using rulers and angles and things and it's all straight lines. So I can maybe handle that. But there's so much math. It's not
there is
fun.
A lot of math.
There is so much math. Yeah.
I don't mind math, weirdly enough. Like, I will do it. Sometimes I'll actually do multiplication tables to, like, calm myself down, which I know is really weird. It's just, like, simple, like, multiplication equations.
Yeah,
nothing
yeah.
too crazy.
But it's very different from, you know, like you said, comics and animation are about storytelling and character. That's a very different type of drawing than math drawing in architecture. So, yeah.
That's true.
All right. So what has been the most surprising thing about your transition?
I guess sort of just all the kinds of social interactions I end up facing day to day. And it's sort of the thing of like, you hear stories of like, oh, how people kind of act when you first find out like you're trans or something. And I think it's always surprising to me because there will still be some people who misgender me. And for those who haven't like seen me, I fully have a beard. My voice is very deep. I look very mask presenting, but there are still times where I get called miss or ma'am, and I'll always be with other people, and they're just like, "What do you? How? Like, I don't know how they did that." And to me, it's sort of the thing of like you kind of develop like a second skin to it. But at least for me, like sometimes I just don't even get surprised by it because I'm just like, "Oh, they'll realize once they look up and see me, it's like, oh, I made a mistake or whatever have you." But it's sort of that surprising thing of like, even though I sound and look the way I am, there is periods where I am misgendered, but I don't take it negatively. I kind of personally find it funny because it kind of placates the whole thing of the telltale signs of a man and a woman, you know? Like I look like a man, I sound like a man.
Yes,
Yet to
you
some
do.
people, it's still very feminine, apparently. And to me, it's just like interesting because the whole debate about trans is just like, oh, they're pretending to be something they're not, or they you could always tell, and blah blah blah. And oftentimes, I get told like, I didn't know you were trans until I saw you had like a trans kid. And you have trans flags on your work desk, or you promoted all this stuff with like Trans Day of Visibility and like Trans Awareness Week and all this stuff. And some people were like, wow, he's a dedicated ally. And it wasn't until I told them, like, no, I am trans. So they're like, what? That's crazy. I think that probably just like that whole interaction really stumps the idea of people being like, you're faking it. Or like you aren't going to be perceived. Because clearly I've quote unquote confused a lot of people.
It is wild how different people can think that we absolutely don't pass, and other people can think that we absolutely do, right? Because it's all about their own internal perceptions of people and gender and how they interpret that. So, just as a quick reminder to everyone listening, if you get misgendered, it's not about you. It is about the person doing the misgendering and their weird misconceptions going on in their head.
Correct.
All right, if you had any advice for someone who is just starting transition, what would it be?
Definitely take it slow. I feel like when I first transitioned, I did everything to like just look mass presenting asshole and just like did all the stereotypical things of like, oh, no more colorful colors, like wear all like muted dark colors, be kind of like broody, like no one gets me. Like I really went like the emo route of mask when I think about it. And it kind of felt off-putting. Like it kind of feeds into that notion that a lot of people in society kind of take trans is that it's a costume, it's a persona, which is like that's to me when they say that it's like, oh, I think you're thinking of drag, which that is and can be a costume or a persona, but you really have to kind of take the time to identify what trans means to you. Like, yes, if you in my case, I did want to be perceived as a man. And my perception was all these stereotypical things. But then as I grew up, I was like, oh, well, I don't need to just wear these dull neutral colors. I can still wear pops of colors. And it's actually an interesting thing of one of the comics I did on the trans non-binary and Fall of the Outside is it depicted how earrings and jewelry and accessories kind of affected me mentally after I transitioned. Because I always associated them as feminine. And when I fully like transitioned, I would see men wear jewelry and I would get envious and be like, oh, well, they're not they're not really men because they wear jewelry. And I have to stop and be like, why am I thinking that?
Right,
It
right.
is like things like clothing and jewelry and accessories and colors, like they're all meant to be perceived, but we as humans give them a gendered view or a look.
Right.
Like if you look at kilts, kilts are skirts,
They absolutely are.
but there are many proud men who will wear these skirts because it is
Right.
a part of their heritage, and to them it is masculine.
Right.
And those in society are like, no, a kilt is not a skirt, it's a kilt. And it's like, but by the looks of how it's made, and it is a skirt. Like it is just that thing. And it's, you really have to sit with stuff like that, where it's just like, okay, I have a purple shirt. Is this feminine or is this masculine? And at the end of the day, it's just a purple shirt. It's how
Right.
you wear the purple shirt, I guess, that can add a more masculine look or a feminine look. But you just kind of have to like acknowledge, like, there are some things that might not align with masculinity in the sense of society, but if it makes you happy and you could, and if you want to make it look masculine, then I think that's fine. Like, you don't have to placate to society's views of masculinity or, in other cases, femininity. It's more just, you have to be comfortable with your skin because that is what you're putting out every day. Like, you have to kind of, as you're learning more about yourself, you are going to put yourself in these vulnerable situations, but take it one step at a time. Because if you try to go full out, you're just like leaving yourself out there at your most vulnerable. Because this is not you just yet. You are still trying to figure yourself out. And it could either be as simple as like, no, you get it right away. Awesome. Others, and for most people, I think it will continually be this long struggle of figuring that out. And there is no rush. It is just you, again, just figuring yourself out. I would say like that's probably the most crucial thing, is to just take it step by step.
Yeah, I think that's great advice because I know, especially at the very beginning, a lot of people who are transitioning, they feel like they've waited so long to start or to truly be themselves. And there's this sort of feeling that you want to speed run it, you want to rush it, you want to go as fast as you can to get to your true self. And it's not always easy to find out who that person is right away. It takes time. So yeah, you got to try to be patient and allow yourself to experiment and explore and find what really makes you happy.
Yeah, it's like treating it like a relationship, but a relationship with yourself. You kind of have to like get to know yourself again and
Yeah.
kind of figure out what you want in your new identity.
You're very wise.
I'd say I'm still learning.
We
I get
all
told
are.
that, yeah, I get told
Yeah.
that I'm wise, but I always say like, well, I'm not as wise as I will be tomorrow, you know?
But you know, it takes a wise person to know that. So, see, gotcha.
I guess it's true. Yeah,
Okay. Do you want to remind folks one more time where they can find you online after listening?
of course. Natural Nin at Blue Sky, and also on Instagram is where you could find me.
All right. Excellent. Okay, this week's topic obviously deals a lot with how difficult the past can be for those of us who transition as adults. For the full picture of what I'm talking about, listen to The Past and Why It Haunts Us way back in episode 2 about why a past lived not as our true selves can be a lifelong problem to deal with. Then you can see The Past 2, The New Past, which is only in essay form right now at TillysTransTuesdays.com. For how a TV show, of all things, gave me a little piece of the childhood I never got to have, and that will be coming here to the podcast eventually. But then you can check out The Past 3 and 4, which were The New Past 2 and 3, or better known as Trans Grief 1 and 2, in episodes 48 and 49, for the time that I confronted that missing childhood and found a way to maybe vicariously experience it for a brief time. Also, kind of related are trans birthdays, which you can find an essay about at tillystranstuesdays.com, and how difficult they can be when it feels like you didn't actually get to live most of your own life. It includes a short letter that I wrote to Little Tilly, which you might want to check out. Given all of that, I think that you can see that this is something that I personally have struggled to come to terms with. And I mean, it's better now than it used to be due to all those small pieces of Little Tilly that I was able to sort of maybe experience, even if I didn't really get to live through those moments. So, Liam, I know that you were a lot younger when you began transition than I was. So, what was that like for you? Do you feel a sense of disconnect from your own childhood?
I think there are parts where I definitely feel disconnected. Mostly when I was younger, I wanted to do a lot of sports. I was a very active kid. I wanted to do
Yeah.
football, I wanted to do soccer, I wanted to do karate, I wanted to do basketball, I wanted to do it all. But because I was born female, my parents were very concerned that I would get hurt easily, or in my mom's words, I would hurt other kids because I was so active and just like can be rough. So they let me play soccer. They said that that's an appropriate sport to play, but it was sort of the thing of like martial arts was out of the question. They actually strong-armed my brother into doing martial arts and he did not want to do it. And I remember
Wow.
being super jealous that he got to do something I really wanted to do. And it's sort of the thing of, for me at least, I don't really have a lot of, I guess, parts where I feel like I lost my childhood, mostly because I still feel like even if I wasn't perceived as like a boy back then, a lot of people were like, oh, well, he's kind of a tomboy. So they kind of like embraced the fact that I wasn't the girly girl
Right.
growing up. My parents kind of just did, like, I would still get Barbies, I would still get an American Girl doll, but I love stuffed animals. And I feel like stuffed animals, oddly, is a gender neutral thing because every kid wants a stuffed animal. And the thing I liked doing was Build-A-Bear. And Build-A-Bear, you could dress up your stuffed animals however you wanted. So a lot of them had like shorts and a t-shirt that had to do with some sport or like something I thought was really cool. I never really got any of the frilly dresses and stuff.
Yeah.
I think really it's more of when people ask me about my past, I get a little reluctant on how I want to like identify myself as.
Yeah.
With closer friends and like people who are also queer, I would say, oh, before I transition, blah, 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 blah. But for things like coworkers bringing up past memories, I kind of would pause and kind of weirdly erase the fact that I was perceived as a girl and be like, oh, yeah, I was on a soccer team. And they're like, oh, yeah, boys love soccer. And I wouldn't correct them. There was a period of time where I just let them be like, yeah, no, I was on a boys soccer team. And I think that's the part that kind of hurts me a little, is that
Sure.
I will find myself like rewriting my past. And it sort of leaves like a weird bitter taste in my mouth because to me it's I'm kind of like rewriting myself. And not in the sense of like for positive change. It's just I'm ashamed of my past. I'm ashamed of who I was. And I think that's it's probably like really the thing in my childhood that I wish I didn't have to like feel that shame, because I feel like it is important that I did live my life as a girl at that point in like part of my life where it was like very whimsical, very childish, because I definitely did see like a different light to things when I also when I started transitioning in high school of like various perception changes, but I don't have to ramble on about that part as much.
Yeah, it can be hard, like in those situations like you describe about with coworkers, because if you were to mention that you were on a girls' soccer team or whatever, you're basically outing yourself to them too. And so these situations can be so fraught and difficult for us, and they shouldn't have to be. And it's just really hard when your past doesn't always line up with the way we wish it was.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm very thankful for like my parents, like, not really gendering a lot of at least toys and stuff. Like there were still things of like, oh, you should wear these like dresses and skirts, and I would always like make a fuss because I didn't want to wear it. But again, they thought it was mostly because I was a tomboy, and at the time I was like, yeah, it's because I don't want to wear that. Like the boys don't have to wear that. I don't want to wear it. And then growing up, I was like, oh, this is why. Or maybe this is part of the reason why. Because who knows? Maybe even if I was a boy, maybe I would still like, maybe I would want to, and then eventually grow out of it. Like again, things change. Like I find myself now slightly interested in feminine clothing despite how I look. And I know that could like society still finds that slightly off-putting, but I'm still experimenting with like how I want to myself to be perceived.
Sure. It's a journey for all of us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, when you're an adult who transitioned well after your childhood, you end up feeling kind of like you don't have an anchor. You see people talking about happy childhood memories and you don't have those. Or you see folks posting photos of themselves from high school and you don't have those because the real you didn't get to exist then, which can very much make it feel like you don't have any connection to your past. Now, I do have my childhood red bow, as I talked about back in episode two, that very first exploration of the past, but I don't and I can't wear it every day, and I don't carry it around with me everywhere as some tangible connection to this world or to life, saying that I was always here. And part of my life being stolen from me are all of those childhood memories that I missed out on. I didn't get to have a sleepover with all my friends who were girls, or get to do each other's hair and braids, or paint each other's nails. And this actually even carries over into my teen and adult years because I don't know what it's like to date or be pursued by a woman as the woman I really am. I love Susan here more than the universe itself, do not get me wrong, but I am hopelessly monogamous, and so I will never know what it's like to date a lesbian as a lesbian, you know what I mean? And I wonder what that's like. And this wonder leads your mind in all kinds of different directions, and you can get a little lost in the what ifs if you're not careful. You don't want to fall down that path because it's a steep drop off, and I imagine it's pretty easy to get stuck down there. So I think what we need are handholds to keep us from falling all the way in. We need an anchor to our past that says we were actually always here, even if we were buried in pain and misery and being forced to pretend to be someone we're not. And as always, listen to episode 59, all about gender dysphoria, if you need more on that. One of the things that surprised me was a gift I received not long after coming out. I talked about this in Unexpected Bonuses of Transition in episode 76, where it had never even occurred to me that after transition, people might give me quote unquote girly gifts. A very dear friend, after seeing me talk about my lost childhood, sent me a big stuffed My Little Pony. And quick aside to say, yes, boys and non-binary kids can like those too, but often aren't allowed to, thanks to a little thing we call heavily gendered childhood. So check out episode 50 for more on that. I wasn't allowed anything remotely girly as a kid, and so I was absolutely touched by that gift. But I was surprised by how much I loved it, even though I'm not overly into horses or ponies or anything. It sits right next to our bed, and I see it every morning when I get up and every night when I go to sleep, and it's a sweet reminder that even though my family and society forced me to be someone I wasn't, the real me was always in there, even as a kid. I'm jealous of your pony. Oh, you can share my pony. It's okay. Did you ever have someone do something like that for you after transition, Liam, that just totally like surprised you with their kindness and how much they understood who you really are?
Did they give you a transformer?
Girls can have transformers.
I actually was not doing the Transformers. Not I probably should have at some point because I did like Transformers. It was actually, I'm trying to think. So oddly enough, it wasn't like a toy. It was, I had a friend in high school who they were, I don't know how we got in this conversation, but we started talking about like prints on kids' clothes and it dove into underwear. Again, I don't know how this happened. And so the boys were like, yeah, I have like race car boxers and like dinosaur boxers. And I was like, oh man, that'd be cool to have like some boxers like that. And I was still like, a lot of my friends at the time knew that I was like trying to find my footing coming out as a trans man. So what he did was he went out And he bought me boxers, like from the child's, and he gifted them to me. And I'm a small Asian man, so I opened them and I was like, what are these? He's like, oh, they're race car boxers. And I was like, are you
That's
kidding me?
amazing.
And so I remember going into the bathroom, trying it on, and unfortunately they were too small and I was
Oh
very
no.
sad. But he's
Oh.
like, no, I could get you more. And I was like, yeah, I kind of do want these. And I think it kept them for a while until I was like, no, I have to get rid of these because these literally do not fit. I kept them for a while because I thought it was a really cool gesture that my friend
Yeah.
was like, my friend wants boxers. I'm going to get him some boxers. He's going to get like the sickest race car boxers he wants. But in terms of other like surprises, I like collecting pins. So
Okay.
I have some friends who will surprise me with like very niche pins and like things I've started like gravitating towards, like Voltron. I didn't watch the original Voltron growing up, but when they did the Voltron Legendary Defenders that DreamWorks did, I was like in awe because it had like the big cool robots that transformed. It had like a group of friends that are fighting, going through the galaxy, trying to stop the
Yeah.
big bad evil. I was like, oh, this is like my bread and butter right here. And so there were these pins of essentially like the lion heads.
Yeah.
And my friend got them for me, saying, I didn't know if you wanted like the action figures because you don't really collect figures, but I know you like pins. So I got these for you. And I was really touched because oftentimes when I collect pins, it's mostly like curated towards fandoms, but it's sort of hard for me to find myself like getting these types of fandoms sometimes, mostly because it's like weird to say, I don't know if I have the right to purchase them because it's like, it's one of those things where it's like the fandom itself is like heavily masked.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me, it's like, oh, I want to partake. But there's like, in the back of my mind, it's like, oh, but you're trans. If they find out you're trans, it might get messy because fandoms
Yeah.
can inherently get messy.
They sure can.
But it took a while to kind of be like, well, I say that, but I read a lot of fanfic saying otherwise, in that they want X character to do X thing to them. So then
Yeah.
it took a while for me to kind of get over that stigma, but it was sort of like that at that time. I haven't been over it yet. So when my friend gave it to me, I was like, wow, this is really cool that they did that, because they not only remembered that I like this like new thing, but they also knew that I liked collecting pins and this is something that I would appreciate.
Yeah, I love that. That's so sweet and wholesome.
Yeah, I think I still have them too, actually. There's somewhere. I have a massive pin board of all my pins and they're all color coded.
Wow, you're serious.
It's a painfully expensive addiction.
Yeah, we got a little bit into it for a while and it really is. So, yeah, I feel you there. Well, what brought this episode today about was yet another thing that maybe little Tilly would have had and loved to death, but I didn't even realize that when I got it. Unless this is your first Trans Tuesday, and if it is, OMG, hi, thank you for listening. I am kind of a girly girl. I mean, I am also buff and I am also sporty because we can all be more than one thing and we do not subscribe to the false dichotomy around these parts. Check out episode 11 of the show to learn how insidious that is. But I love girly things and they make me really happy. And I also love science and space and sci-fi. And of course, Susan and I are sci-fi and fantasy writers. So when I saw this amazing backpack that kind of marries all of that together, I got so excited and it became imperative that I get one. And then I saw I could get it personalized with my name in pink. So very exciting. You can see a photo of it in the text version of this topic at tillystranstuesdays.com. Is it cute as all heck? Oh, yeah. But it's also practical because when we go to comic conventions, which we often frequent as I'm doing book signings and I'm often a panelist, I need something to keep copies of my book in, a water bottle, snacks, all that good stuff. It's more than any purse can hold, really. And we have bags, but none of them were girly or cute or me. And it even has a matching thermos water bottle, also with my name on it. And I didn't at all anticipate my reaction after it arrived because I love it. I mean, I love it. My reaction was so much more emotional than I thought it would be. And to be fair, I anticipated zero emotional reaction. I thought it would just be a fun thing to have. But seeing it, holding it, putting it on made my heart swell and I kind of teared up. What the hell? And I am always, always, always trying to understand myself better as a person, probably because I spent a lifetime having that person intentionally suppressed and crushed and hidden from me. And you can learn how that manifested in my childhood in episode 16 of this show, Searching for Meaning, when you're trans and don't know it. So I sat there holding it, looking at it, wondering, thinking, pondering, feeling. And you've probably already figured it out because I obviously decided to do this episode about it. It was another tangible, real physical connection to my lost childhood. Because this is 100% something little Tilly would have screamed in joy to have and used every year and loved dearly so much that it'd get dirty and beat up and wear out. A strap would break and there'd be a hole in the corner on the bottom from where it always scraped the floor as she tossed it under her desk in class every day. And she would have begged to get another exactly like it to replace it because she would have loved it that much. But now Big Tilly has it and she loves it that much. Do you have anything like this, Liam? Something that you didn't get to have when you were a kid, but that you have now and that just fills you up with happiness?
I did. And I say I did mostly because I had to have it taken away from me because I was
Oh,
abusing it.
no.
I love Nerf guns.
Okay.
And it was one of those things, you could already see why it was taken away from me.
Sure.
It was one of those things where growing up, it's like Nerf guns were marketed to boys.
Yep.
And my brother didn't want it. So my mom saw no point in us really having it. My cousins had some and we would mess around with it, but there was something about it that I was like, this is so cool and so fun that I
Yeah.
want this so badly. So when I moved out here and I was with my roommates, one of them was working at Target and he has a discount. And so we were like, what if we get Nerf guns? And I was like, oh yeah, that'd be really cool. Cause I thought I kind of grew out of it. But the moment like
Sure.
we were in the aisle, it was like I was a kid in a candy store. I was like, there were
Yeah.
all these different Nerf guns with like the barrels where you could just like automatically shoot like 100 of them at once. There were like the sniper ones. It was insane. Like, and we opted just to get like the standard one, like the regular
Yeah.
like pistol looking ones. And when I tell you, the moment we bought it, we weren't even at the apartment yet. I was already opening it and like loading it. So the moment we opened the apartment door, I was shooting my other two roommates with Nerf guns and they were screaming at me.
I love this story.
And it was just, I was just like a menace. I was acting like probably what like 8-year-old, 10-year-old me would have acted if I had a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
And eventually there was a rule where I couldn't shoot the Nerf gun for a long period of time. And then I think at one point my brain was like, well, I'm an adult and I have adult money. So they said I can't shoot these Nerf guns. So if I buy a new Nerf gun, it's
Yeah.
different because
Good loophole.
it's not within the two that they told me not to shoot. So then I got a disc one. And I started shooting that around, and we had two cats at the time, so the cats loved it. Again, roommates did not love it. They were like, "You cannot keep having Nerf guns." And my partner even sat me down, and it's like, "I love you so much, you need to stop. This is an issue." And we donated. Like, I think I still kept the Nerf guns for like three moves, and it wasn't until like a couple months ago I like found it hidden in my closet, and there was a split second where I was like, the Nerf darts are here. My partner is in the living room. I could shoot them with the Nerf gun, but I chose to be the better person and not do that. But eventually we ended up donating it because it was fun to have. It was fun to experience
Yeah.
and have that. But I am too much of a trigger finger to like be a normal person in society, not shooting it every like 5 seconds. So I was like, I had my phone with it. I will give it to someone else to have fun with it. But yeah, it was sort of that thing of like, I didn't really think I really needed that Nerf gun until I had it in my hand and I
Yeah.
was shooting it.
Well, I'm glad you got to experience some of what you missed out on. And that is an amazing story. So thank you.
I'm sure you need to have a Nerf gun group that just.
Oh, you're giving him ideas now.
Maybe. I can
Well, if
probably
you
go
do, you let me know. Hook a girl up. I will shoot
on.
Nerf guns with you.
Heck yeah.
Trans and non-binary friends, it is okay and even good to nurture that true little you that didn't get to be. It's good to find ways you can experience so much of what you might have missed out on, and it might just help heal some old wounds. And cis folks, if you see trans people getting toys or dolls or quote unquote kid stuff, try to understand where we're coming from. It's not a refusal to live in the present or to grow up. It's trying to form a connection to a past we are otherwise disconnected from, and growing up is highly overrated anyway. Thanks for being here, Liam.
Yeah, of course. Thank you again for having me. This was a lot of fun.
I'm so glad. I can feel my inner child dancing in glee and just so excited about this backpack, unable to wait to show it off to all her friends. I can't wait to show it off to all my friends. So here I am, showing it off, feeling things I thought might be lost to me forever. And you deserve to feel those things too. Tilly Bridges, End Transmission. Tilly's Trans Tuesdays is hosted by Tilly Bridges and Susan Bridges, with audio editing and sound mixing by Jillian Morgan. The written essay version of this week's topic and all past topics is available at tillystranstuesdays.com. Special thanks to Daisy and Jane for the use of Sorry Not Sorry as our show's theme music. Please stop by and show your support at daisyandjane.bandcamp.com and soundcloud.com/daisyandjane. You can find me at Tilly Bridges on Blue Sky and on Mastodon at tillybridges at mastodon.social, and you can find Susan on those at Susan L. Bridges. You can find Jillian at Audio Jillian on Blue Sky. You can join the Tillyverse Discord server by following the link at the very bottom of tillystranstuesdays.com. We hold regular watch parties for the Matrix films and other trans movies where I do a live Q&A, and it's blossomed into a wonderfully supportive, compassionate, kind community of friends. We'd love to have you join us. If you'd like to keep up with all the writing that Susan and I do, you can sign up for our newsletter at birdguestbroadcast.com. If you enjoy this show, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. The largest segment of our listeners find the show there, and more reviews equals a higher profile, which means it will reach more of the people who need it. Thank you for your support. For more information, visit pendantaudio.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm jealous of your pony.
Oh. You can share my pony. It's okay.